You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
Throwing Shade is the name of our series. Welcome, everybody. If this is your first time, my name is JD Miller. If you came during the music portion and this is your first time, this is Connect Community. We're so glad to have you here. It's so awesome to see your faces from here on up. And in these weird times, we're still finding a way to get together. So we see all the kiddos in here. I know it's going to be a little bit noisier in these few days, but it's all right. We're a family. I grew up coming to church with my parents, sitting with them, and I value that, just being together with family. So all of you who have your kids, don't worry about them. Just the effect of being in church together as a family, that's very valuable. That's very good. So you can take it easy. You know, your kid is going to be a kid. It doesn't bother us. And let's just do church together, right? Let's just be together and worship God together. For those of you watching online, welcome as well. We're so glad to have you. Join us today, November 1st. I read a passage in the book of James this week that kind of caught my attention as I was preparing for this message. And it made me think about us in this season. It made me think about as we go through issues and as we go through family problems, as we go to personal things in life, the value of our words, the value of what we say, the value of how we face life and face our problems. And this passage kind of opened up a thought that I want to share with you today as we open this series. Here's the thought. James chapter 3, verse 18. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now, James is talking about righteousness for everyone. Righteousness for every person in the world. And the word righteousness here, the definition of this word, it means what is just and right in the sight of God. Justness and rightness itself without human bias. Just perfect righteousness. Now, I have a simple message for you today. And I want to make a connection in this message between the microcosm of your life, whatever is it happens in your life as a part of the total, and the effect of that in the macrocosm of our world and in our society at large. See, James in this passage, he's saying that the kind of justice that we long for, the kind of righteousness that we want in our lives, in our marriages, in our relationships, it will come as we sow peace. It will come as we sow seeds that make peace. And peace. I love that James paints a picture here of a seed. Now, I had an apple. Oh, I just ruined my question. I had a fruit last night. And I wanted to ask the kids. I have a seed here. Can you tell what kind of seed this is? I already said it, so if you were paying attention, right? Can you zoom in, Eli? Can you get this right here? What kind of seed? Ooh, it's falling. It's too tiny. It's an apple seed. It's totally an apple seed. This is an apple seed. Now, you know what happens to this apple seed? If I put it in the ground, in good soil, what happens, kids? It grows. What do we get from an apple seed? An apple tree, right? An apple tree. Now, here's a question for you, because you're so smart. Once you plant this, you get one tree. Now, how many apples can a tree give in one season? A lot, right? Dozens. Dozens, right? Maybe, and in each apple, what do we find? More seeds, right? That's right. We just switch over to the kiddos right now for a minute, all right? I'll be back to the adults. So here's a question. Let's say each apple tree gives you 100 seeds. How many trees do you have now? 100 trees, right? How many, if each apple tree gives you 100 seeds, how many trees do you get when you plant 100 trees? Oh, you know, yeah, it's a little higher level here. Do you know? 1,000. Ooh, try 10,000. That's just in one season, right? If I plant this and the tree grows to maturity, it'll give me plenty of apples. Let's say if it's 100 apples, you get one seed from each apple. You plant that, you get 100 trees. Out of those 100 trees, you can get 10,000 additional trees. In other words, this seed right here has the power to make a whole forest, a whole orchard. The power is in this seed right here. It's so tiny, right? You could have apples forever. All right, everybody who answered right, get a candy on the way out. Not yet, because we want you guys to, you know, be with me here. There is actually candy out there, by the way. Should I have not said that, parents? Now think about that. In the right environment, a simple seed in the right soil, cultivated properly, could give you a forest. It's all packed in here. That's the process. Now, here's a question. What if you were a tree? What kind of seeds would you be bearing right now? If you were a tree, what kind of seeds would you be putting forth? See, this is what James teaches. He teaches us that if we want righteousness, if we want justice in our lives, even at our personal level, in our own world, the kind of seeds that we need to sow are seeds of peace. We need to sow seeds of peace. That means that the fruit of your life, how you act, what you do, can have an ultimate effect in the world. What you do can eventually become a forest. What you do today can eventually have a ripple effect and affect those in your home, affect your family, affect your extended family, those you work with. It can have an effect and eventually reach society at large. It can shape your neighbors. It can shape your neighborhoods. It can shape your city. With the right soil and the right cultivation, you can affect the world. Now, when we look at the world today and we see things that we wish were different, the motivation that we should have because of this scripture is not to primarily just look at what's wrong on the outside. Our first, very first instinct should be, what can I do? What can I do to make it better? What do I need to adjust about my life? What kind of seeds do I need to sow as I go through life that would affect a situation like that? And maybe you don't even have direct effect on it, but you could have effect in your own life, in your own circle, in your own family. When you notice something that could be different, we must look at ourselves. So this message series is not just about being kind or being nice, even though that's important. Even though kindness is a fruit of the Spirit, is a fruit of somebody who lives with God. It's not just about please and thank you, although respect is very important, but we are going deeper in this series. We're going to talk about the things that make a difference. It's about being fully aware that we are a part of something bigger. You're a part of something bigger. You're a part of something greater than just you. You matter, and you can make a difference. Now, James, who talks about trials, he talks about faith, he talks about conduct, he talks about wisdom, he gives special attention to our words, special attention to our speech. Let's look at some of the things that he wrote. James chapter 3, verse 2 to 10, we're going to read, all right? Let's go. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. Now tell us how you really feel, James. What do you really think about the tongue? For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, these things ought not to be so. Wow. This just makes me want to be quiet for the rest of the week. It's a strong word. But it's a word that's needed, because here we are 2,000 years later, and we can't disagree with it, can we? We read it and we can't like look at it and go, I think you're going a little bit too strong there, James. Now you go like, yeah, I've seen that. I've experienced that. I've witnessed that. Maybe I've even been a part of it. We all have blessed and cursed. We all have said things we regret. So how do we address the problem? Because James makes it look like we're helpless. He makes it sound like you're doomed. We got this thing in here, and we just can't control it. There's no way you're going to be able to control it. Well, he continues. Here's what the scripture tells us, verses 11 and 12. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. James is pointing to the source. And this is important for us to pay attention to, because for some of us, we've had an MO. We have a mode of operation, right? And you have thought that you're stuck with the way you operate, because you thought that this has been your whole life. This has been how you were raised. This is how you were brought up. This is how you, and there's not much you can do about it. So some of you, you are honest about things. You say it like it is. And that's just how you operate. You don't hide it. Sometimes you hurt people's feelings. You don't want to hurt people's feelings. But you're straightforward, and that's just that. Now, you want to do better. You want to tame the tongue, like James says. But you're not sure if it's possible, because every time you get into that situation, it just comes out. It's your MO. Now, some of you, you're a little bit different. You speak out of self-righteousness, right? Now, this is not an insult. We all have self-righteousness in us. It's in us. But for you, it comes out when you speak. It comes out when you talk to people. And you might be blinded to it, because in your heart, you just want people to do right. You just want them to do right. And you know what's right at that moment. So sometimes, without thinking, you're setting them straight and you're speaking of what's right. And you say things that sometimes gets you in fights, and you're like, why are we fighting? How did this begin? I didn't try to pick a fight. I was just saying what I thought was right. And you ask yourself, what can you do? What can you do when you're always right? Right? Got to stand your ground. Some of you, you've noticed that you speak out of anger. Sometimes you don't even know how it starts, but you just get angry. And when anger switches on, oh boy, it gets a hold of you. And you speak. You say things. You don't just say things. You say things in the most hurtful and mean way you can possibly conceive at that moment. And then you regret it. You go like, man, I shouldn't have said that. Sometimes it's not even about the other person. You just want to get the anger out. You just want to get this emotion out, because it's arrested you and you want to get it out. There's a whirlwind of angst. There's a whirlwind on the inside, and it's a problem. And you try to come around it, but oh boy, it's difficult. Now, what James brings up is very important, because if you're in either scenario, or maybe you're in a different scenario, where you're trying to tame the tongue, you're trying to speak better, you're trying to control your emotions, you're trying to make sure that what you speak is appropriate and upbuilding, and you don't just want to repress it, you want to be able to speak. James brings up an important point here, because some of us grew up with this distorted belief that we think that we're stuck with the tongue we got. That we're stuck with the kind of way that we express ourselves. And it's not wrong for you to think that things in the past have affected you, or things in your environment have affected you, or that you are currently living through a situation that might be affecting you at work, with family. But there's one thing that we can't miss, and James is bringing us to this awareness that we have a way of taking a hold of our speech. Now, you might say, it was my upbringing, JD. That's why I say what I say. You might say, you know, it's my work environment. I got to stand up for myself. I have to do it. You might say, it's her, JD. It's him. Like, you know, things happen. And I'm not even talking about just spouses. I'm talking about, you know, roommates, people you live with, relatives, anybody who may trigger some of those emotions. The scripture here in James is pointing to a tree, the source. It's pointing to the spring. And that gives us a few lessons. Here's what he's trying to say, that what you say is not just a product of your environment. What you say is not just a product of how you were raised. What you say comes out of your heart. It's on the inside as well. Now, there's a lot you cannot control about your environment. There's a lot you can't change about the past. But you can change your heart. And this is the first lesson for today. Better words start with a better heart. Better words begin with a better heart. Better words start with a better heart. You can't change your past. You can't change your environment. Not always. But you can change your heart. And here are the words of Jesus. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now there's beauty in this teaching. Jesus is making it clear, black and white, to each of us. Listen, out of the heart is what your mouth speaks. The beauty of it is that you are not stuck. You're not stuck in the pattern. You're not stuck in this place. Maybe you grew up in an environment with someone who cursed you. They talked you down constantly. And that's all you heard. And basically your brain is pre-programmed to be negative and pessimistic and put yourself down. And you do that. You do that in your mind. You do that with your words. And sometimes you do it to others. And it's not intentional. It's just the way you were brought up. You do it constantly. Maybe you heard such negative things your whole life. Or maybe you're still in an environment that does that. That sometimes you repeat it without even thinking. Why? Because it got in your heart. Without you noticing sometimes. It just got in your heart. But here's the beauty of a life with God. Here's the beauty of salvation in Christ. Here's the beauty of coming to the altar, coming to Christ, worshiping, praying, open your heart, being in church with other believers. Here's the beauty of allowing your heart to be open, is that God can give you a new heart. He can give you a new heart. And with a new heart comes new words. With the healed heart comes words of healing. With a restored heart comes words that restore. With a believing heart comes words of faith. As God begins to restore your heart, so does your speech. It gets restored. And I want to encourage you to pray like the psalmist. Create in me, O Lord, a clean heart. And renew a right spirit within me. create in me a new heart and renew a right spirit within me. Second lesson, your words shape your world. Your words shape your world. Your words matter. With your words, you can make people laugh. And with your words, you can make them cry. With your words, you can encourage. And with your words, you can discourage. With your words, you can empower. And with your words, you can manipulate. With your words, you can build up. With your words, you can tear down. Your words can make peace. Your words can make war. What world are you building? Here's a well-known proverb. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. We all know this part of the proverb. Look at the next verse, though. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. See, this is what this passage is telling us to do. When you're tempted to lash out, when you're tempted to come to that place where you just don't do it, don't engage it. When those around you start a conversation that does not line up with the kind of life you want to lead, don't go along with it. Just don't engage. Don't be a part of it. It's okay for you not to participate. You don't have to take part in that. It's okay for you not to engage. See, use your words to build up your marriage. Use your words to build up bridges, to build bridges with family members. Use your words to encourage. Use your words to lift up. You can't build a straight life with crooked speech. You can't do it. So put away all crooked speech. Use your words to tell people that you love them, to care for them, to tell you that you want the best for them. So JD, what happens when I disagree? What happens when I do not agree with what's going on? Like, in the middle of a fight, what do I do? Do I just suppress it all down and go have a sandwich? Just grab a pint of ice cream and just be quiet? Is that what you're saying? No. That's not what I'm saying. Here's the third lesson for today. And last one. The best words are guided by wisdom. The best words are guided by wisdom. You've heard it said, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. That's true. But I would go a step further. I think it's more than that. It's why you say it. Why you say it. And I encourage you to pay attention to that. When someone says something that rubs you the wrong way, ask yourself two questions. Why did they say that? Why did they say it like that? And why did it affect you? Why did it rub you the wrong way? Why did it bother you? You can ask yourself, like, why did they say it like that? And think about it. And then ask yourself, why did it bother me? And give it some thought before you respond. See, you are not responsible for what other people say, but you are responsible for what you say. So take responsibility for your own words. Take responsibility for your speech. Be encouraging. Before you say what you shouldn't say, ask the question. And if you can't find the answer for yourself, you're in a conversation, even in the middle of a heated argument, why did you say it like that? Why did you phrase it like that? And get to the heart of it. Remember, it's always a heart matter. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's a heart matter. So get to the heart. Get to the heart behind the words. Don't make assumptions. Ask the question. You can't be precise unless you know. And if what's bothering you was said by somebody who's in another state and you were just scrolling on your phone and you saw it, just let it go. It has nothing to do with you. Just let it go. It's not worth your time. Do the same about yourself. Why does that bother you? Bother me? What's my heart saying when I say things? Here's how James puts it, our final scripture for today. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Who is wise and understanding among you? In other words, who wants to be wise? Who wants to show wisdom? By his good conduct, let him show his works in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Here's James again, man. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. Now here's the guidance. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Wow. The wisdom that comes from God is pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's open to reason. It's not my way or the highway. It's full of mercy. That means there's empathy. There's sympathy. There's an understanding, mutual understanding. It has good fruits, impartial and sincere. And the reason, the why matters. The reason you want to get to the why is because it identifies what kind of wisdom the individual is using. What kind of wisdom that person is operating from. What kind of wisdom you're operating from. It's important to get to the why of it. See, this requires humility because you have to look at your own heart and realize who's talking. Right? Is this jealousy talking? Is this self-righteousness talking? Is this envy talking? Is it selfish ambition talking? Is greed talking and trying to justify itself? Who is talking right now? This is important because the moment you identify the problem, you can create a separation. See, I've said this here before, and this is important for us to know. You are not your sin. You are not your sin. So the moment you identify what the problem is, if jealousy has arrested your heart and you're just going at it, you're saying things, and then you realize, oh, wait a minute, I'm jealous. This is not who I am. I'm jealous. You create a separation between you and jealousy, and you can handle that. And you can say, God, I repent. God, take care of my heart. Like, I feel this jealousy in my heart, and I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to. The moment you shine a light on it, it doesn't control you anymore. Maybe you know, it's selfish ambition, or maybe it's greed, and you're just going at it because you just, you know, you want to consume, or you want it more for you, or you just, it's what you want. The moment you shine a light on it, you know, you can then submit it to God. And it can lose its power over you. That's why, because there's this separation, that's why the writer of the scripture that calls attention to our words is correcting us with some of the strongest words in scripture. Have you noticed that? This writer, James, he admonishes us, he guides us with some of the strongest terms that you will read in the Bible. Yet he's telling us to be careful with our words. The reason why he can do that is because there's a separation. Things like selfishness, envy, jealousy, greed should not be in our hearts. So he can poignantly identify it so that you can identify it and say, hey, this doesn't belong here. It's not who I am. It's not part of my identity. It's not just who I am. I can address it. It shouldn't be part of our lives. So let me encourage you to be wise in your speech. Not by suppressing it. Not by like going through life and holding everything in. But be wise in your speech, having the wisdom from above. Not earthly wisdom, the wisdom from God. Because the solution is to seek a clean heart. Not suppress it, it's to seek a clean heart from God. And when you do that, you will invite God to hear your heart. And when you do that, when you invite God to hear your heart and seek a pure heart, when you begin to shape your world, with your words, words of blessing. When you grow in godly wisdom, wisdom that is peaceable, gentle, full of mercy, when you speak the truth in love, you will begin to sow seeds of peace, and that is when you will become contagious, you will affect your world, you will share wisdom, mercy, and kindness, and eventually, it's not just going to be you, just a tree, but as you sow these seeds all around your family, as you sow these seeds all around your neighborhood and your workplace, you will begin to see the difference, and righteousness will come, and God will use you to change the world. Do you receive it this morning? Amen. Amen.